as I was praying what God would have me speak on, man, what an act of obedience this time of year that, you know, Jesus came to earth in the human form as a baby. He was God. He is God. I was thinking about his obedience. And it just blew me away because I struggle with obeying. I struggle as a kid. I struggle as a 50-year-old man. And I'll share some illustrations with that as we get into the Word. How many of you here like to Black Friday shop? I hate it. But my wife loves it. So a way I can show her I love her is to go Black Friday shopping with her. There have been those Fridays that I've gone. You know, we get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you stand in line and you wait and it's cold for whatever's on sale that year. And I love to observe people. You know, Walmart is giving out these big TVs for a certain price, and people are shoving to get, you know, have you heard of some of the Black Friday accounts where there's physical altercations, right? And I love to watch little kids. Of course, they have all the candy and all the things out front, and the moms and the dads are telling their kids, don't touch it. And the kid's like, I want to touch it. I want it. Why don't you get it for me, right? There's a struggle of obedience. And I feel like that's like us as Christians sometimes, is it not? We want what we want, when we want, how we want it. And if God doesn't do it the way we want it, we're like, why are you not doing this? Correct? I want us to look at Abraham's life, and we're going to see some things. Man, God did some pretty incredible things. And Abraham's a lot like us. As we look in the Word, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for salvation. Man. And as we celebrate the coming of your Son to earth at Christmas, what a great example of obedience he is. And your servant Abraham. And let us put these biblical principles in our life on a daily basis. Because that's what you've asked us to do. I thank you for your Word and the power of your Word. We ask these things, Father, in your Son's name. Amen. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 18. We're going to focus on that this morning. I want us to look at, so Genesis 22, chapter 1. After these things, God tested Abraham. Let's stop right there. So in chapters 15 and 16, God tells Abraham that he's going to make a great nation through him. Okay? So Abraham understands that through him and his wife, Sarah is going to be this great nation. But there's a problem. They can't conceive a child. It's not working. She's not able to bear kids. And they're getting old. And the timing isn't. How come God, have you ever been frustrated with God like that? I have. You do things and you try to do the right thing and man, it's not going in the time. It's not convenient for you. This is what's happening with Abraham. So Sarah says, you know what? Why don't you take my handmaid, lie with her. Maybe she can give you a kid. So they do. And she becomes pregnant. And there's a little bit of bitterness and rivalry between Sarah now and her handmaid. And God finally opens up Sarah's womb and lets him have a son named Isaac. And God tells Abraham, through Isaac is going to be this great nation. Not Ishmael. Ishmael's going to be a great nation. But my chosen nation is going to be through Isaac. So God now is going to test Abraham. I find it interesting, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham listened to the voice of God. I struggle to listen. I struggle to listen as a kid. I'm reminded my father is 76 years old. A couple weekends ago, I had the privilege to go up and help him do wood for their house. They live in Scroon Lake, New York. My mom says, your dad is failing. He doesn't listen well. Oh, he listens fine. He just doesn't want to listen to her. We're doing wood. I'm on one end of the logs. He's on the other end. And we're sawing. And I'm looking over my shoulder. And we're kicking. Okay? He didn't miss a beat. So we get done. And we're sitting outside. We're enjoying a cup of tea. I said, Dad, can you hear? He said, yeah, fine. I said, why don't you listen to Mom? He goes, she annoys me sometimes. Do we treat God like that? He said, notice, God called Abraham. He only called his name once. We like to have that response with our kids, right? We only have to call our kids by their name one time. He listened right away. He was familiar with God's voice. He shows a sense of surrender. He says, here I am, right? Those of us, my wife and I have 6 kids. Our oldest is 24, and our youngest is 15. We have a boy, 3 girls, and 2 boys. Our 2 oldest are married now. Life goes by so fast. And sometimes they didn't want to listen right away, right? I find I'm the same way like that with God. Do you know God's voice? Do you know what it sounds like? He may not speak to us directly like he did in the Old Testament, but he does speak to us. He speaks to us through his word, through his people, through prayer. Are you familiar with the voice of God? It's interesting, you know, having kids that have played sports, there's been times when they've been involved in things, you know, at the end of a game, and I want to get their attention. And all I simply got to say is this. Hey! Some of us were sleeping, our heads just popped up. And I watched when they were little, like their heads were whipping around, looking for my voice, looking for where the voice came from. I remember one time saying, boy, you found Dad. Well, Dad, I know you had something to say that was helpful for me. Sometimes we don't want to be helped, right? Abraham listened right away. Shows an attitude of surrender. Do we do that? My wife jokes with me. You know, I'll come home from a day of work, and she wants to tell me about her day. How bananas were on sale at Weiss Markets. And how she cleaned this and she did this. And I try to position her in such a way that the TV's on. I can see the bottom line of ESPN on the TV. And I can see the score of what I'm interested in. That's not listening. It's not listening. Abraham listened right away and to all of what was being said without interruption. If I was Abraham, it would be very easy for me to say, wait, God, as you're telling me to take my son, my only son, Isaac, whom I love, he's very detailed to not get him confused with Ishmael. So take him to region Moriah, sacrifice him there. I would be like, wait, time out. You just gave me this son in Sarah's old age. You said he's going to be a great nation, and now you're telling me to kill him? Have you ever felt like that with God? I do. I'm sure Abraham did. But he surrendered. He shows that by listening right away. And he doesn't interrupt God when he's giving him commands. Do we do that? I do. You know, as people are talking to me, I'm building a case in my mind for how I want to defend or attack them, right? In my listening. Abraham didn't do that. He listened to all of what was being said without interruption. I had the privilege to be a basketball coach for 20 years at Baptist Bible College from 1994 to 2014. Very enjoyable. It's interesting because you would begin to correct people or give information, and people would want to interrupt you. Abraham doesn't do that. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't state his case. He listens to all of what was being said without interruption. Well, let's keep reading. So Abraham's response. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Not only does he listen right away, first observation of obedience, into all what's being said, he puts into action what he was told. Notice he started early the next morning. He started right away. How many of us know, you know, January 1st is coming and we're going to make some New Year's resolutions and we're going to say, oh, I'm going to do something. We know there's things we need to change in our life, right? We don't start right away. Being around the college again, kids start their term papers that they're supposed to be taking a good chunk of the semester to do. Ironically, you know, school for us, finals starts next week. I heard some kids saying, yeah, I need to start that paper. Oh, okay. We need to start right away. And we need to start in little things. Notice what he says. He rose early the next morning. He saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with his son Isaac. He cut wood. And he went to the place which God told him. Do we start? Are we faithful in little things in our obedience? One thing that should separate us differently from other people, as God's people, is we should be kind. I find sometimes God's people aren't kind. That's a little thing. Are we kind? Have you ever held the door for somebody at the mall or Walmart? They insult you for doing so. I'm from Scranton. I was holding the door. People are walking by. They don't say thank you. What are you doing? I'm holding the door for you, sir. What are you doing that? Merry Christmas. Every part of me wants to say, I hope you trip and fall and smash your head and hurt yourself. Are we faithful and consistent in the little things that God has asked us to do? In our obedience? Are we kind? Are we in the Word? I have to be in the Word. I struggle with my flesh so much. I need God's Word to combat it. Amen for God's Word, right? I need to be in prayer. Those are little things, but man, I need it. Because what comes natural to me does not always reflect Christ. I need God's Word in my mind, in my heart. I need to be on my knees, surrendered in order to obey Him. I was reminded, you know, having kids, my kids have been away. They came back for Thanksgiving, and so you get around Thanksgiving table, and we talk about things that the family has done, right? Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. We laugh. We were telling a story about he was 7 at the time. His sister was 9, and we were at my in-laws, and his cousin, Grandma, was giving out those icy pops. It was in the summertime. And Mike, his cousin, Curtis, shoved Madison to get in line first for an icy pop. Mike does not like Curtis. So Mike found an opportunity. So what's he do? He grabs Curtis by the hair of the head, slams him on the ground, and kicks him. You push my sister for an icy pop. And we were laughing. He's like, well, why'd you do that? I did it accidentally on purpose, Dad.
think sometimes, man, little things, right? We act like that, and then I wonder, like, our response to God is like, I did it accidentally on purpose. No. We make decisions to disobey in little things. It's so easy to become callous to sin, right? So Abraham listens right away to all of what's being said without interruption. And now he puts it into action and he does little things. Have you ever obeyed with a bad attitude? Have you ever... We're serving God. And as you serve God, you're frustrated and you're irritated in your heart, right? Doesn't appear that Abraham is like this. I've done this. Well, God, I'm doing this for you. How come you don't make this easy for me, right? You feel like that? Or God, how come you don't bless this? I'm doing this. Attitude is wrong. Focus is wrong. He simply gets up early the next morning. Gets his stuff together, packs, cuts wood, and starts his journey. It's faith in little things. We always tell our kids, little things done consistently make big things happen. We tell our kids, success always looks easy to those who weren't around when it was being earned. And get to know your God. Spend time with him. Do little things. So Abraham sets off on the place that God tells him. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. We must persevere in our obedience. How many times do we say, okay, God, I'll obey, but man, I got to see that you're going to bless me or I'm going to get what I want in the back end, right? It's got to fit my convenience for what I want. Abraham's an old man. He's over 100 years old when this is happening. He's been walking for 3 days. I got to wait for 45 minutes at a Walmart and I'm ready to lose my mind. Right? I get to wait on God for this, and I'm frustrated. I'm vexed in my heart and my soul, and I'm irritated, and I get, right? I'm walking for 3 days. This idea of persevering, it doesn't fit well in our culture, right? Especially younger kids. We don't like to persevere. Persevere means the ability to stand despite opposition. We like it easy. I joke with my children that their generation is the generation that stands in front of the microwave and begs for it to be faster. This idea of persevering means I am going to stand despite opposition and I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to outlast it. Even if it doesn't work out the way I want it to. Abraham's walking for 3 days. How many of us would be grumbling and complaining if we had to do that? My story a little bit, we were at Baptist Bible College. I started working at Baptist Bible College back in 1993. And I worked there till 2015. And God moved us. And I was upset with some things. I was irritated. God moved us. As a principal, he moved us from Pennsylvania where we were in this town and God was using our family and God moved us
out of Pennsylvania up to right outside of Schenectady, New York. Don't take this the wrong way because you live in New York, but New York's one of the last places that I would choose to live if I wanted to pick a place. I hear some amens, okay? God will surrender. But man, while we're up there, there was all kind of things. And we would like to complain. But we're, okay, God, we want to surrender to you. He was asking our family to persevere, change some things. We've had kids get hurt. Physically. My daughter tore ACL twice. Meniscus. She had 3 knee surgeries in 4 years. Our son has had 6 surgeries in 5 years. Like, God, why do you do this? We say we want to please you, and I think we're obeying you. And then God moves us back to Pennsylvania. Like, you called us for 4 years in New York and then go back to Pennsylvania to this college? No, I don't want to go. I'm happy here now. Do we persevere? And do we persevere with a good attitude? Part of the reason we can is because Abraham trusted God. Remember what he says to his servants? You guys stay here. Me and the boy will go over there. We will worship and then what? We will come back. Is Abraham lost his mind? Has the 3 days walk in the sun got to his head a little bit? Does he not know what he's commanded to do? No, I really believe he knows what he's doing. But he trusts his God. He's understood the faithfulness of God. One of the things that my wife likes to do at Thanksgiving is we get this big pumpkin. And every night at dinner, we write about something that we need to be thankful to God for on this pumpkin. So we start November 1st, and by the time the 25th comes around, we have 25 reasons surrounding this pumpkin why we need to be thankful. When our focus is on God and what he's done for us, it's easy for us to trust him, right, man? But when our focus is on ourselves and what we're not getting the way we want it, it's easiest for us not to be thankful and to have a poor attitude. God wants his people to go through tough times and trust him and have a positive attitude. That's when we can point people to Jesus. Because it's different than what the culture says. I don't know what's going on in your life. You don't know what's going on in mine. But God wants his people to persevere with a good attitude. I thank God so much that we have him to trust. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. A good friend of mine died. A guy I've spent a lot of time with through basketball. And he wasn't a believer. It hurts. I've shared the gospel with him many, 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 many times. We've cried together. We've laughed together. He died of a heart attack. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow in the morning, and they found him in his apartment. I'm watching people mourn for this guy. They don't know Christ. I cry. I've cried a lot. I miss him. But I have a God I can trust that I know he's in control. I trust God. I've seen his faithfulness. Abraham has seen the faithfulness of God. He's messed up. He's tried to do things his own way. It didn't work out. And he's seen God reconcile. And he's seen how faithful God is. One of the reasons that we like to do that thing on the pumpkin is we see how God's faithful to us, even despite our faithlessness to him. We can trust our God. Our oldest is an athlete by God's grace. He had the opportunity to play in high school, play sports in college, and has the opportunity to play as a living. He spent the month of June out in California at basketball combines. He's going to be a professional basketball player.
3 days before he went out to California, he's with his fiance, and she's rebounding for him in the gym, and he slips on some water in the gym, and he rips his left ankle. But this opportunity is kind of, these things don't always happen to everybody. So you go. Well, you go out there. They practice from 9 to 11 in the morning. They have a break, and then they have like a 20-minute break, and then you come back like 11:20, and you do strength and agility till like 12, and then you break for lunch, and then you come back at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you go for another hour and a half, and you break for dinner, and then you come back, and you play at night in the Sacramento Pro Developmental League. All in a bad ankle. And he does it. Got to toughen up. He gets done, and by God's grace, he did real well. And he's got teams interested in him. They want contracts, and they want him to come try out and go. But he ignored the pain in his left ankle, and he developed a stress fracture in his heel. And he hurt his Achilles. So he gets back to Pennsylvania, and he has a hard time walking. He goes to the doctor, and they're like, you got to bag it for a while. You're hurt. God, I think you want me to do this. But now I'm hurt. And we've had great conversations. I'm like, your perspective's wrong. You got to keep your perspective on the Lord. You got to realize how faithful God has been. Well, God's not doing what I wanted him to do right now. Last time I checked, it's not about you, right? So why are you using the word I in your sentences? I get that way. Abraham didn't have that perspective. He said, God, I trust you. Me and the boy, we're going over there, and then we're coming back. He trusts his God. His God's been faithful to him, even despite his son's faithfulness. I thank God for his grace and his mercy in our life. Amen? Because I have been faithful. When I come back and repent, I get on my knees and I cry out. He's always there to welcome me with open arms. Say, come on back, Mike. We can trust him. Even when things don't seem like we can. Our son is still hurt. It's still lingering. His agent called him a couple weeks ago and said, Los Angeles, you know, the way the NBA and the pros work, when somebody gets hurt, dominoes fall. A guy gets hurt. A guy got hurt out in Golden State. Steph Curry, hurt, broke his wrist. They need a shooter. They call Bill. Bill's like, I got a guy. That's our agent, JC's agent. He calls JC. He's like, hey, can you get on a plane and get out to Oakland? He's like, I'm hurt. When are you going to get unhurt? I don't know. I'm like, JC, these are the moments you got to talk to Bill about Jesus. It's hard, right? Because the focus is all about who? Us. Abraham didn't have that. Okay, God, you tell me go here. I'm going there. It's 3 days walk away. I still got to walk some more. I'm going to persevere with a good attitude. Well, then, verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Let's stop there for a second. Can you imagine that conversation? Isaac is 16 to 18 years old. Abraham is 115, 120 years old. If there's a physical altercation, Isaac wins, right? He can't catch him. I was reminded, like, I'm thinking about this as I'm driving this morning, I'm praying. So this past 4th of July, we were at a place where there was water and our family was together. And our oldest, I'm wrestling with him. I love to get our boys in the water. We love to wrestle, right? And I think I have him. I have his arm pinned behind his back. I'm, like, flicking his ear. I'm hitting him in the throat. I'm like, I got him. And he giggled. I'm like, what are you giggling for? I got you. That. I'm 185 pounds. I don't wear it as good as I used to, right? He bent down. He pulled me right out of the water and threw me on my back. And the 15 to 17-year-old, they were on the raft. They jumped in like they're power bombing me, right?
If there's a physical altercation between Abraham and Isaac, Isaac wins. Abraham can't physically bind him up and say, force him. I imagine that conversation went like, okay, Isaac, God has told me to lock you up here and kill you. But he's also told me that through you is going to be this great nation. I don't know what God's thinking, but I know God well enough that I'm going to obey him. And I'm going to watch him do something that's unbelievable because he's God. I know to trust him. He's trustworthy. So, Isaac, I need you to jump up here. So I'm going to take this knife. One thing I want to back up. When Isaac asked the question to his father, he knew they were going to sacrifice because the knife that they took, in every family there was a ceremonial knife for sacrifice. And this knife is going wrong. That means something's going to die. So Isaac inquires, how come? Okay, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife. And Abraham says, God will provide, knowing full well that it's Isaac. Interesting, right? So he has this conversation with his son. He says, obviously, Isaac willingly got up on top too. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. You will be blessed for your obedience. God always provides. It's always tough when you're going through that trial, but he always provides. He may not provide the way that you want it to, but he provides. Always does. I've thought about things in our life. Man, and obedience and surrender brings blessing. It brings a blessing in the way that we live. When we surrender and I fight God, I live without joy. When I obey to gain merit with God, I have no joy. But when I obey and surrender in obedience out of a love for God, I have joy. We're blessed if we surrender. And I can't wait. There's going to be a day that we get to meet God, right? We know this from Matthew. And we're going to get to put what we have done. We're going to judge by our works. What we have done at his feet. Will it stand the test of fire or not? I did this for you, God. That's a blessing. My kids are always asking me, and our family, what's your why? Why are you doing what you're doing? What's your why? You know, when I get mad at somebody in road rage, when they cut me off, I have no reason why people of intellect see the signs on the highway where two lanes go to one, right? There's always that person that comes up the second lane. Drives me nuts. Dad, what's your why? Right? You're blessed in your obedience and your surrender. But we need to do it motivated out of a love for God. If we do it to gain merit with God, there's that fight. But if we do it based upon a love for God and understanding the love he has for us, there's a blessing in that. Four observations about Abraham's life.
One, he listened right away into all of what is being said without interruption. Two, he obeyed. He put in action what he told quickly with a good attitude. Three, he persevered. And four, he was blessed. We have a great God. Amen? Thank God that we have a relationship with him as we go through this life. Amen? In this time that we celebrate Jesus coming back, coming to earth as God's Son, and his act of obedience, let that encourage us. Let Abraham, because Abraham's just like us. He has his doubts. He's got his fights, struggles. Let us obey our God. And let's obey our God with a smile on our face despite what things come into our life. Because we have a great God. He's worthy of it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. And God, you understand, man, it's a fight. I thank you for salvation, that we can have a relationship with you, that we can come to you and cry out to you. I thank you for your servant Abraham and his example. I thank you for your faithfulness. May we obey you, Father. May we put these biblical principles into effect in our life so that we can please you, motivated by love, and we can point people to you because you're a good God. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.